Well, we thank God this morning for His salvation that He brought down to us. Thank the Lord that we can trust Him, and God's on our side, and He's just greater than all the foes. We thank the Lord for that today. Thank the Lord for the community of the Church of God, the saints of God, the called out of God. And, I'm glad the Lord made you and me with warm places in our hearts. And I'm glad that He put something in our hearts to fill those warm places. And I know we could think of quite a few. But I thank God for the warm place that we have in our hearts for one another. That is a consolation in the trials of life. You know, we do have those trials, that is. And many times, our resources are just not enough. And sometimes, often, we cry out to God. And as Paul of long ago said, God comforted me by the coming of Titus. So I thank the Lord for the comfort that's in God's people. Praise the Lord for that. I'd like for us to think a little bit today about that the life that you're leading, the life that you're leading, the life that you are living today. One of the things sometimes we maybe fail to realize in our hustle and our bustle of living is the great impact that life has on things all around us. The great impact of our mannerisms and our thoughts and our ways. The impact that you and me, just from the fact that we're living, have on a myriad of things all around us. Obviously, the life that you're living has a tremendous impact on you. It has consequences. It has blessings. It has heartaches. It has things that you are so glad for and rejoice in, and it also can bring regrets and those type of things. But it goes much further, you may know this, than just an impact on ourselves. The life that you're living today impacts your family. Brother Philip and Sister Rosie have talked to us quite a bit about that, and we know it's true from experience. 50 years ago this year, last May, well, May 8th as a matter of fact, my mother died. And till this day, things that she quoted to me and instilled in me still affect me, still form some of my thinking, my ideas. And you can ask Karen, I quote her quite often. It impacts, the life you live impacts your family. It affects and has a great impact on your happiness. One of the things that you and me want is happiness. I would encourage us today as we go on through this message to look at the life that you're living. We have this human characteristic that's innate in all of us. Is to pass the buck, put the blame somewhere else. But I'm convinced that God wants us to first look at ourselves, what kind of life we're living. What kind of life we're living. As a Christian, what kind of life you're living. I believe if we look at that and consider that for a moment, we'll find, you know, that has a big impact on my happiness. Am I a happy person or a sad person? Am I a person that is too sensitive, and et cetera. And seem like my feelings have a way of getting hurt quite often. Maybe we need to just look and see what kind of life we're living. And that life is a very special life that God wants us to live, and by the help of the Lord, we'll bring some of that out. You know, the life that we are living and leading has a big impact on whether we please God or not. Quite frankly, we know this. We're going to be judged in part by our works. We're going to give an account of the deeds done in this body. So the type of life I'm living has a big impact on whether I'm pleasing God or not. So you really go into some of the thoughts, and maybe these little seed thoughts are prompt some thinking in your mind, that really and truly how I live and my demeanor and how I look at life and what my motives are and what's the heart of myself has a big impact on me. And life is not to be careless, just frivolously lived and with no consequences in mind or no thought of impact on others. Life is an extremely powerful thing. Decisions you and me make are like waves on the ocean, a ripple and go way out. 50 years my mom's been dead, still impacting me, still has an influence in my life. Things that she told me are still part of the guiding principles of how I guide my life. Pleasing God. Did you know that the life that we live or lead has a big influence and impact on the type of fruit that we bear? God wants good fruit. He planted a vineyard, he said, I believe, and it was Isaiah. And he said, I did everything for that vineyard I could do. Then I came back to reap the sweet wine and the grapes. And what did I find there? Wild grapes. You know, God is interested in the fruit that we bear. Well, how am I living? What is the resource of my life? What is the well that I draw water to keep life alive in? What am I eating to support life? Obviously, we're talking about more than hamburgers and beans. We're talking about the man that will live forever, the man that has, the woman who has the dynamic influence in society, and we all do. What are we feeding on? What are we thinking on? Bible teaches us that how a man thinks, that's basically who he becomes. What am I thinking on? What are the ingredients that go in to make my animation what they are? All that's very important when you think about it. Extremely important. You know, the life that you're leading right now and living right now is so powerful, it's going to have an effect on eternity. Whether you or me spend eternity in heaven or in hell, based on the life we're living. We take it pretty casually most of the time. I say that, generalize it. We take getting up in the morning and going about our duties as humdrum and every day. I do that. Sure I do. We're human and we... But, you know, when we really get to thinking about it, wow, what a power God has unleashed in your life and my life. The influences, the yeas, the nays that we have, the decisions that we make, the bringing up of children, etc. I want us to think about that today. The life that you're now living, the purpose, the resources, the direction, the food, the nourishment. What goes in to your life? What are you and what am I putting in to my life or your life? I'd like to begin reading in Galatians 2 and 20. I am crucified with Christ, Paul wrote to us. We think about that as being a death. You know, before you and me can live, we've got to learn something very important. We've got to learn how to die out and die. Not so much accepting death is inevitable, which I believe that's a real important thing for you and me to do. But we also have to learn how to succumb to the love of God, the power of God, the authority, the wisdom, and the nurturement of God. We need to recognize that in spite of what we may think of ourselves, there is someone greater and wiser and in every way perfect who is interested in our welfare. And we want to die out to that man that is contrary to him and live, and a new man come forth It is extremely sensitive and aware of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Ah, but the good news is, I've lived. I am alive. I am not dead. I have animation that is in the sight of God a good thing, a pleasant thing, a real thing. And the impact of that living has the blessings of the Lord on. He said, I live, yet not I. What you see is Paul the man, but I want to tell you something. There's a new man on the inside. He may be bald-headed, he may have poor eyesight, he may be getting old, his speech may be contemptible. But I want you to know something. The man on the inside is that not that man to Damascus. He's not that man that went down to do harm. He wasn't that man full of venom and hatred and anger and malice. But he's a man that's been born again. That old man has died. And now the life that I live now, I may still look like Paul. I still may have to work on tents every now and then. But I want you to know something. I'm not the Paul. I'm not that old Saul. No, it's Christ in me. It's Jesus Christ, the source of my life, the fountain of my life, the power of my life, the motivation and the direction of my life. It's not me anymore. In the life that I now live in the flesh, this human body, tall, short, fat or skinny, old or young, male or female, all this life that I actually put into motion has a source not from the wells of this earth, but from the wells of the everlasting Father, from that great water of life coming out from under the throne of God. Oh, this morning, may we learn that living can be exciting. Living can be beautiful. Living can be pure. Living can be holy. Living can be acceptable to God. And the tracks we leave and the fruit we leave can be pleasing and a sweet savor unto God. And point others, follow me as I follow Christ. It's safe. It's safe. Oh, thank God. He said, I live this life by the faith of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank God this morning that there's a purpose greater than me and you. There's an authority greater than me and you. And he invites us to believe him. And to as many as who did and who does, to them gave he power, the authority, and the right to be called the children, the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. This morning, what's the life we're living? What's it full of? What's it filled with? What is it going? What is it doing? How is it acting? What are the fruits thereof? Something to think about. Not to condemn us, but oh, that we can realize God's got life, eternal life for us. Something beautiful, something rich. He's got happiness and joy in our life, folks, in our life, in our living. God has got peace right here in living. You know, some people, well, we all have our down times. We all feel the pressures of life. None of us are exempt from that. But God doesn't want us to be the type of person that seems like they've got the weight of the world on their shoulder all the time and there's no avenue of escape. God wants us to enjoy our little interlude here we call life. And God wants us to show others the joy of living for Him and the peace and the security that we find, confidence that we can have in God. I know, Paul said, I know in whom I believe. I am confident in Him. You can't persuade me otherwise. He affected everything about me. He changed me. He gave me new direction, new hope. He took away the old and brought in the new. I know what He did for me. Now I'm going forth and I'm going to tell others, and I am going to tell them by my life. I am going to tell them by the joy I have, by the expression of gratitude to God I have, by the obedience to God, not in lifting up myself and saying, I trust God, I believe God, I obey God. No, but by the everyday life I live, you live, we live, the church lives, Paul lived. I love God. I serve God. Oh, I know in whom I believe. No banners, no flag waving, no drums and cornets are blasting. No, I know in whom I believe. And I'm going to live the life by the grace of God. Said the life that I now live, present tense. Over in John, 1 John. John, the first chapter, in the fourth verse. Speaking of the Lord, Jesus Christ. John the apostle wrote this. In him was life. The creator, the one who spoke everything into existence, the one that was there before the beginning with God, in him was life. And listen to what he said. And the life was the light of men. I want to hold that thought about being the light of men for a moment. In the beginning, God created life. What a life! Let me ask you this, and you think about it. Would you like to be in Eden today? Would you like for this world today to be Eden? Well, and you know, you'd still be here. You'd be more than Adam and Eve, but you would be in Eden. Now, you think about Eden. It was a garden. Beautiful. Climate controlled. As far as I can understand, there weren't seasons and et cetera and et cetera. Climate-controlled garden. If you was hungry, just walk along and pick up the fruit. You didn't have to wash it. And you could eat. Walking down the path and eating, and a great big tiger or lion pops up in front of you. You might say, "Hello, Mr. Tiger." I don't know. He may say hello back to you. How you doing today? Oh, I'm just happy. God made you with beautiful stripes. Thank you. And go on. There didn't seem to be any carnality in Eden. Didn't seem to be any. You think about it. And in him was life. Essence. Foundation. The beauty. The creative genius of God was there. And it was good. So I know now, if there was tigers there, they were good tigers. Because everything was good. He made it perfect. God gives life. He can still do it today. We're the ones that kind of muddle the situation. For God so loved the world. Well, God created life, and Satan killed life. Remember this, young man and young lady, child, adult. Satan kills the thing that you value most, life. Literally, but we're talking about more than that. The joy of life, the beauty of life, the fruit of life, the tranquility of life, the beauty of a home, children and a family. The hope of eternity. Satan kills and killed life. After Satan had his say, man died. And we've been dying ever since. Stay here and go also to the 10th chapter of John. The 10th verse. The thief cometh not, but for to steal. And to kill and destroy. Then Jesus goes on and he said, I am come that they might have life. Oh God, help us to get a picture of life today and what God envisions your life to be. I'll not be able this morning to describe the burden of my heart because it's beyond my understanding to say it, but God wants us to see the life God has planned for us. God has put before us. God, it's not just living, folks. It's the life of the very plan of God, the very Eden of God. God never wavered from wanting man in Eden. Man relinquished that, but God never really wanted him out of there. But he had to put him out because of sin. But God has always wanted to bring us back into that unity with him. So God created life and Satan killed life. And Christ returned life. That's the life we're talking about this morning. You know, 80 years old, the majority of us, I don't know, we probably the majority of us won't see 80. A few days afterwards at the most. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that return by Jesus Christ of the life He brought back. That life, that light. He said, I am come that they might have life and they may have it, might have it more abundantly. Go back now to John. So here's the little scenario that came to my mind. God created life. Satan destroyed life. Jesus came to return life. Oh, listen. Let's grab hold of it. Let's embrace it. Let's say, Lord, that's the life for me. That's what I want for myself. Over in John 1 and 4 again, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. God came to give us direction, folks. He came to be a guide for us. He became to become a purpose for us, a motivator and a motivation for us. He came to be the focus, not in a cultish, drab, gray world. You look around you and me. And you look at the magazines, the nature magazines, and farm magazines that come out, and Birds in Bloom, and that's what God created. Do you think God wants His church to be in a gray, drab world, weighted down and not being able to move, pessimistic, like somebody stepped on your toe and they wouldn't get off? No! God made the birds and the blooms and the mountains and the trees and the oceans. Oh, you go down and look in the ocean. I've seen the videos of it, of the coral reefs. Go down to the aquarium in Oklahoma City. Look at the sea life. God did it, folks. Purples and reds and yellows and oranges. And what did God do? He put them in one fish and just made that fish look so beautiful. Then another fish, little unique things about the fish or the bird that people say it just happened that way. I know better. God did it. And that life, that very essence of what God wanted to bring, that's it. That's spiritually, take a lesson from that. That's what God wants for us. Did He not say beauty for ashes? Oh, praise God. I don't have time, and you don't have time in our 50, 60, 80 years. We just have to let them step on our toe and look at the mountains. We've got to let life hand us some lemons, if I can borrow this phrase. And we've got to use the sugar of God to make lemonade, folks. That's what God wants for us. He wants the flowers to bloom in our heart. So when you need a bouquet. Brother Stanley's got a bouquet. It's God's bouquet. I just said me to not point it out to someone else, but it could be any of them. God wants you to be able to go to the sad and say, here's a bouquet. It's from Jesus. May God help us. That light, that life, became an expression of everything God is. It became the bursting forth. This is my purpose. This is my hope. Come to me. Oh, may the Lord help us today. Without that life, now you think about this. Without that life of Jesus Christ, we would be just like Nineveh. Now, what do I mean by that? Jonah, there. You're kind of hard on them folks over there, Jonah. But Jonah, there's folks in that city that don't know their right hand from their left hand. And if they both had, one had a ball in one hand and a bat in the other, and I said, drop the ones in your left hand, they wouldn't know which hand to open up. Now, I know that's what God said, didn't he? Don't know their left from their right. I want to tell you something. I am convinced of this. Without the life and the light of God, we're no better than Nineveh. We don't know. I can't get myself out of the whatevers. I need God, don't you? He said, I have come that you might have life. Enjoy it. Cast off the hidden things of darkness. Walk in newness of life. What's the reason for life? What is the basis of life? Is it mere survival? You know, some of the most miserable days I spent in my life is days doing nothing. But I was alive. All my heart was beating, you know. I could turn the radio on and hear Paul Harvey or whatever. But I was just surviving. Is life just to get by? He talked about an abundant life. He talked about something beautiful. Gaithers wrote a song, he made something beautiful. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful. May God help us today. Life is more than just mere survival. There's a lot of people contending to survive. Let's contend to live, saints. Let's contend to show forth the glory of God. Let's not contend just to get by after 24 hours, say, whew, I made it another day. No, let's live so we can live. Let's live so we can enjoy the riches of the presence of God. Let's be willing and wanting to take care of everything that's standing between me and that life. Have you found yourself this morning, ever or today, in that mode of just surviving, working, paying the bills, eating, sleeping, getting up, working, paying the bills, focused on diesel and gasoline prices? I filled up yesterday. You can focus on something, folks, when you see $104 on the gas tank. That gives you something to focus on. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to go beyond that gas pump. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus in my heart, my disposition, in your disposition. I want to see Jesus up and above the gas pumps. You know, it hurt. Didn't enjoy it at all, folks. But you know, I still didn't lose my joy and my happiness. And I'm not going to go around doing a lot about diesel prices or gas prices anyway. So why not enjoy what I can enjoy? Why not live the life? Luke 21 talks about it, I believe. Luke 21 and 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life, so that that day comes on you unaware. This phrase, cares of this life, or the life, it's not just unique to Luke right here alone, but it's mentioned in other places in the parable of the sowers, for instance. You know there's balance. Of course there is. And yes, there's the cares of this life in balance. But oh, may the Lord help us to know that if I fixate on the cares of this life, I've missed the joy of the Lord. If I get so inundated with survival, I can forget how to live. I can miss the joy of the little pansy, of the little tulip. I can miss the joy of the beautiful fish in the ocean. I can miss the smiles of children and grandchildren And the little, what was it? Someone wrote a country and western song, but it was still beautiful. Little butterfly kisses. You know, they may have to kiss me up here or something. But the little butterfly kisses. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I want them little butterfly kisses. You know, we can get so caught up. Dads leave in the morning. Dads come home at night. Ah, but don't forget the butterfly kisses. Don't forget what you're here for. Don't forget the joy of living, trying to survive. I want to tell you something. God's already promised you something. You're going to survive. But He calls you home. The cares of this life are the two. Now, I want you to understand. I have a budget of some sort. And yes, I take note of what my wife especially, what the price of a pound, 10 pounds, 5 pounds of flour costs. I don't want you to think I don't think about those kind of things. Yes, I do. I am well aware that diesel's a little over $4 a gallon. And I care about that. Okay? So make that straight. But I want to say this. Above that and with that, Jesus said the devil, the thief comes to rob, steal, to kill, to destroy. The cares of this life, putting ourselves in survival mode, is tools of the devil. And listen to that now. If I think that living is about getting by, getting money, getting the best, how people treat me, whether they like me or not, whether I can buy diesel to go to fishing or not, and I put my eggs in those baskets, folks, that's a tool of the devil. Because he will see to it that that's all we see. And we miss the butterfly kisses. We miss the little child saying, "Granddaddy, Granddaddy, take me." We miss that child learning how to catch a football. And that child's first Bible verse, because we had to work and couldn't go to church on Sunday. See what I mean? Life is more than that. And you know, like I said last week, I hadn't found a lot about getting older. That's good. That I'm really just having a great time. Maybe I'm a little more uninhibited, I don't know, but you can always count things off, I'm just an old man. No. But I found that one of the advantages of getting old is it increases your appreciation. At least it did with me. Life today is for living. Life today is something that you and me should be, I'm convinced. And I don't mean this in a fleshly way, but yes, in some ways. We ought to be enjoying. You know, what another of this Gaither song, you know, talked about going to heaven. I can't remember, but it said this. Enjoying the trip. You know? Let's enjoy it. Because that's what God wants us to do. Now, again, I don't want to put the emphasis on me and you making it happen, but you and me submitting ourselves to God, who is the light of this world, who is the life that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, allowing Him access to me, to you, and not shutting Him out. But now the life I live it in faith and by faith, with the intent that I know in whom I believe. I'm persuaded He's able to keep me. And the cares of the life, I'm going to put you in your place over here. Yes, we're going to be concerned, but no, they're going to go over here. Because there's too much out here that God has for me. And I'm not going to let the tool of the devil come in and say, "But what about me? What about me?" No. Sufficient for the day, I believe you said, is the evil thereof. And we sometimes lose focus of life itself. Again, in Luke 12, or in Luke 12, chapter 22. Luke 12 and 22. Here is another thought. I want to preempt it with this. I'm talking about here in this, the guidance of your life, the impetus of your life, the focus of your life. So take these scriptures, and I know Jesus meant for us to take them in balance. He said this in 22, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. For life is more than meat, and your body is more than raiment. 23rd verse, and life is more. You know, so I have missed this scripture in my life. I'm not going to stand before you and say, look at Brother Stanley as the paragon of virtue in this. I've learned some things, though. Paul said, I've learned whatever state I am, therein to be content. I have learned the wondrous secret of abiding in the Lord. So I'm not going to tell you that but I have found somewhere along the course of my journey that life is more, and there are more important things we live in than what I put on or what I eat. Craig and I were talking yesterday, and I was just kind of rehearsing to him the changes from generation to generation to generation. Kind of went back to my parents and then how we raised him, and now his concepts of what's necessary, what we got to have. And then I said, look at our daughter. 12 years old, soon to be 13. Her concept of what is necessary for the contentment of this body is nothing like her great-granddaddy had. Nothing like what I had, and it's not like what her daddy has. Folks, life is more than an accumulation of the latest. It's more than an accumulation of all my ducks finally got in a row. Because if you've ever heard me say that, about the time they get in a row, one decides he's going to go get that bug over there, and one says he wants to go swim in that pond, and there they go. If we're waiting for that, all life is more, more, more. And that's what God wants you to have and me to have, life abundant. The life of Christ, the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. God wants to come and grant us. He said in another place, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Folks, it's here. Right here today, it's fulfilled. I want you to think about there's a higher, a holy, a more noble and divine purpose to life. Remember we talked about the impact you're making? That's what's important. It's not really important so much what happens to you and to me, but it's how we handle what happens to you and me and the impact, the footprints that we leave. Dad, how are you handling life? Mom, how are you handling life? You're leaving impacts and ripples and, you know, I don't mean this in a negative way. But every time we react to a situation, regardless of how we react, we're putting a little cut in a small life. And then it heals, and I'm not saying that in a negative way. It becomes a stigma. It becomes a mark. It becomes a reference point for that child as she or he grows older. Like I say, it could be a good cut, see. It could be a good indenture. And it'll forever follow. How do I view God? How do I view Christianity? How do I view the promises? How do I handle adversity? How do I treat my spouse, etc.? It goes on and on. We're making these little incisions in hearts and lives. It's real important when you think about it. He said life is more. It's so much more. You know, I'm afraid for America that we're teaching children today more about an accumulation of goods 401s, and I'm not against 401s, accumulation of those things, and the weightier things, the meatier things, the things that promote godliness and holiness and righteousness, we're letting them be sifted out by the devil. An accumulation of things, my rights. Oh, I saw it just the other day in a magazine. This is one of my pet peeves, folks. When I see an advertisement for something that says, you deserve it. Maybe you don't deserve it. Maybe you don't work. Maybe you're lazy. Maybe you tear things up. We don't deserve it. We can earn it. We can go out and buy it. And we may want it. And maybe we don't need it, but we don't deserve it, folks. May God help us to escape the rut of survival and fly into the arms of the Lord, into the kingdom of God, in the holiness and the beauty of it, the glory of it. What I'm saying, I say to every one of us, including this fellow right here in the gray pants. Be careful. Be careful. Don't get tricked out of life. Don't get tricked out of it. Jesus told them in Matthew, they said, well, after he talked to the lady at the well, they'd gone into town, I guess, to get vitticles. Come back. Here, eat, eat. Jesus said, I'm not hungry. Oh, God, help me. Help me, Lord. I fall so short. What a beautiful thought. I'm not hungry. What, was anybody fed you? I mean, we hadn't eaten all day. No. I have meat to eat that you know not of. And I'm satisfied. I'm truly satisfied in Jesus keeping. He's my choice forevermore. Fade life's joys, so short and fleeting, mine are over on that shore. I'm living for that day, aren't you really? I'm not going to just survive. I want to live, yes. My blood pressure's high. I want to live, yes. I was anointed. I want to live, sure I do. I got to go beyond the survival, folks. I've got to live for that day. You and me both do. Then we really start living. Because God is so wonderful to put things in perspective. Thank God for that. And Jesus said, I'm not hungry. So, why? He said, I have meat to eat of, and you know not of. Ah, what? I don't see a chicken leg. I don't see a taco salad wrapped up. What? My meat is to do the will of Him, my Father, that sent me. May it be our will today. Let's balance it, sure. Sure, we're concerned and we do care about living in the natural sense. I trust you understand what I'm saying. But, oh, saints, life is so much more. Luke 1 and 68, let's try to bring this to a close. This was Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people. He raised up an horn. This is not John the Baptist he's speaking of now. It's Jesus. And raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. And He, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us. Maybe Zechariah, God wasn't meaning it this way, I don't think. maybe Zechariah, as the Jews thought, Rome, etc. I'm thinking about the devil. And I'm thinking about the tools. And I'm thinking about where he gets you and me to look and what we think life is. He must answer all the things in life, those things that get us snared and tricked and looking away from God, who is our true life. God, Jesus, came, raised up a horn of salvation for us, folks. Horn is strength, integrity, stamina. That's what this is talking about. The strength, the right arm of the lion of the tribe of Judah. He hath prevailed to open the books, loose the seals, look on them and touch them and praise God. I come that you might have life. Now, he opened the books that you might have life and have it more abundant. And save us from them things that hate us. And I'm not talking about the communist. And I'm not talking about the Internal Revenue. No, I'm talking about those things that cause you and me to get in survival mode, get in some kind of rut where the ripples and the indentions and the scars, the cuts that we make in life are always on the negative side, are never truly as fully positive, that we fail to see the beauty of God in His creation of His saints. Jesus came to save us from that, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember His holy covenant. See how far do I want to go? The oath which He sware to our father Abraham, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. That's where God wants to take us. I thought of it this way. God wants us to be impressive for Him. And I don't know of a better way than to enjoy the life He gave me. To live it. Enjoy it. Serving God, folks. If you're under the impression it's a hardship, you didn't go to the same school I went to. Because I want to tell you something, living for the Lord is easy. It's Him, and by faith, Him in me. It's not me trying to do it anymore. I feel no pressure from you to live a certain way. I'm free. It's just the freedom in the Lord. And He wants us to impress others with that. Be impressive for the Lord that we might, what? Glorify our Father. And we do that by saying how wonderful it is to have that burden lifted, sins forgiven, a new life commence, and our name in the book of life, and I am free, the Lord has saved me. I was once a sinner, but now, oh, praise the Lord, I'm saved. And the life you see me live, it's not written on a creed, it's not written in a rule book. It's written in my heart. I just love to serve my Jesus. And I see beauties now, and I feel more butterfly kisses than I ever felt. You know, it's just wonderful. And I'm not trying to get us up there where we can't come down. No, God wants us to enjoy this thing called life. If you read this month's Faith and Victory, Brother Don Elwell had an article in it. I'd like to quote a couple of things from him. He said this, living holiness is far more difficult. I'm having a little trouble focusing here. Living holiness is far more difficult and costly than it is to talk about it. Think about it. If you and me become the defender of the faith through words, actions, doctrine, and I support the doctrine, don't get me wrong, it's so much easier to talk about it than it is to live it. I just thought that's it. God wants us to live it. God wants us to enjoy it. God wants us to not be on a pulpit or out on a street corner somewhere demanding, demanding, and demanding. God wants us to just live it. to your children, live it. Moms, live it. Make Christ so beautiful. You know? I can't describe things very pretty, but some people can, and they can make you almost taste that, whatever it is. See it in your eyes. Live in holiness. It's going to take God to live it in you. Paul said, the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. Well, also in Brother Don's little article he wrote, he quoted a man by name Alfred Adler. Now, I didn't go to the time to look up who Alfred Adler was. But I believe Brother Don, so I think he's respectable enough to quote it. He said this, it is easier to fight for one's principle than to live up to them. I knew a man more by reputation, but I knew him. His last name was Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown had the distinction in Coushatta, Louisiana, of having his ear cut off. And maybe he was embarrassed, maybe even, I don't know, because I never saw that, because he always wore a white bandage over it. And my dad said he got it cut off in a fight somewhere one time. That was how I remember Mr. Milton Brown. And one other thing, he wasn't a saint in the sense of living a good, respectable, happy Christian life. But he could quote the Bible. As you ever heard it said, left and right and backwards and forwards. Mr. Milton Brown, I'm using his name because he's dead and we'll never see his children, his grandchildren. He could tell you what the Bible said. Mr. Adler said, it's easier to fight for one's principles than to live up to them. Think about it. We can know, we can say, and we can tell others. May God help us to live up to it. And the only way I know to really be the argument God wants us to be is bear fruit. Now, there's a place. Sure, there's a place to talk about Jesus to sinners. I mean, don't get Brother Stanley wrong. But folks, we got to live it. We got to show Jesus. When they slap us, here I got two cheeks. When someone treats me bad, hug them. Send them a flower. And say, God bless you. Forgive. We've got to be willing to sacrifice. Money, yes. Time, yes. But the most important is our will. I give it to you, Lord. Oh, saints, let's live. God wants us to live. God wants us to enjoy it. God wants us to show forth. God wants us to have Him in us. The life that I now live, it's not Stan, it's not you, put your name in there. No, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It is He that brought the change. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Last scripture is found in Romans, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to use this as an invitation to myself and to you. Because there may be some of us who need to get out of the rut this morning. There may be some of us today that needs to get out of the survival mode. There may be some of us today who need to start living. Put it in perspective and walk in the fullness of joy. And the scripture this morning is found in Romans 6 and 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism. So this is a significance of baptism, part of it, into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Now folks, the power, we heard about the resurrection Sunday night. The power that was there in that garden tomb was not the rock rolling away. It was life coming into a dead body. That was the Holy Ghost came down and did that. That like Jesus came alive from the grave. Woof! I don't believe he rubbed his eyes. He was alive, and he's alive forevermore. Just as that power worked right there in that tomb and brought life into a dead body, just like that, even so we should walk in newness of life. God wants to breathe into you the breath of life this morning. If you and me have found ourselves in the rut of survival mode, and we have missed or missing or let it slip away the life of Christ. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's a great God and a great Holy Spirit and a loving Jesus who wants to come down to every one of us who are hurting, every one of us that are in a rut, every one of us that's in survival mode, and breathe the breath of life into us. That we can get up from wherever we are. We can get up at our job. We can get up at school. We can get up in our homes. We can get up in our spirit and go forth in the newness of life. That's what God wants for us, for His glory and for our good, for His purpose, for our fruit. So may God help us today, if there's any of us. And I can say us because I've been there, folks. I've been there. I've been caught up in the survival mode, and I want to tell you something. It is not any, may I use the expression, fun? Never, never, never satisfies. Because today you get the brass ring as you go around on the merry-go-round of life, and tomorrow you go around and say, I remember how I did, and you skip it and miss it. And the guy behind you or the girl up in front of you gets it. Who's poor as me? No, I'm not talking about that. God wants us to walk in newness of life. The infusion of the blood, the infusion of the Spirit, the infusion of the Word, the infusion of the very embodiment and essence of Jesus Christ. And then, folks, the flowers smell better. They look better. Your wife is easier to get along with. She's not as cranky. Your husband's not as cranky. I'm saying that in reverse psychology. Little children are, oh, that's my child. That's my little boy, my little girl. That's my dad. Then life takes on the brilliance of Jesus Christ. You pray for